morning, everybody. Thank you for being here bright and early at the Capitol. We had a good session day yesterday, and as most of you know, as the legislative session kind of gets into earnest, we are focusing on the budget. We are going through the process, of course, with public hearings and lots of internal discussions as we begin to put our alternatives together to what Governor Evers offered in his budget. But there are other things that are also happening that are really important for Wisconsin that we wanted to talk about today that are outside the budget. So I'm going to start with Representative Kitchens, who's going to talk about one of the proposals we'll discuss today.
Okay, good morning. First, I want to talk about the pharmacy access bill for birth control. This is a bill that in the last two sessions we passed it through the Assembly, but it did not get through the Senate. So we're reintroducing it, and we're very hopeful it'll make it this time. You know, I think the cost of unplanned pregnancies in the United States is just staggering. About half the pregnancies in the U.S. are unplanned, and of those, 43% are aborted. Of the women that choose to follow through with their pregnancy, 68% are on welfare, and it's paid for by Medicaid. And that figures out to $336 for every woman of childbearing age in the United States that we pay in tax money just for the deliveries. And that doesn't even take into account all the added expenses that these babies are much more likely to be premature, low birth weights, and that kind of thing, and require, you know, ICU. So, you know, and that's just the tip of the iceberg of the total cost of it. It has a dramatic impact on the lives and the future earning potential of the affected women. 10% of the women that enroll in community college drop out because of pregnancies. So I think when you think of the wasted potential there, most of them never return to college. So along with substance abuse, unplanned pregnancy is the greatest contributor to generational poverty. Requiring physicians to prescribe birth control is a significant barrier for women to use birth control effectively, especially for women in poverty. And the medical community is nearly unanimous in their belief that birth control should be over the counter. In the past, this bill had the support of nearly every medical group, including the OBGYNs, the family practitioners, the nurses, the pharmacists. There are now 24 states, plus the District of Columbia, that use this model in prescribing birth control. Oregon was the first state to do it, so we have the most data back from them. And it has proven, you know, definitely that it will reduce unplanned pregnancies and abortions. So I think the bottom line is that as Republicans, we don't want women to be faced with that choice of having to abort, and I think that this bill goes a long way toward that goal. Thanks.
Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you. And I want to say thank you to Rep. Kitchens for bringing that bill back again with me. I am the author in the Senate. As we face challenges about workforce and work shortage, especially in rural areas when it comes to health care providers, this is just a very important tool to allow women the access to birth control so that they can plan their families when it makes the most sense for them. So I'm very grateful for that. The second bill that we're introducing today is a bill to update the language around life of the mother and to provide exceptions for rape and incest around abortion. It's a pathway. So after the Dobbs decision happened last year, a lot of us sat down with our constituents, with medical providers, with the medical community, and talked about what is the best way for Wisconsin to proceed. Where were your constituents at? And when I had conversations with constituents, they want to make sure that if there are complications in the pregnancy, if the baby is found to be non-viable, that they can access the health care that's needed to make sure that the mother survives the pregnancy and that we can move forward. In addition to that, when it's a condition of rape or incest, they want to have the option of terminating the pregnancy. You know, I was very fortunate. I had two very, very healthy pregnancies. But I had a woman call my office probably about a month ago. Her and her husband, she was pregnant with their third child. Very much a baby that they wanted. There was complications in the pregnancy, and the baby was non-viable. The baby was dying. In Wisconsin, she was not allowed to deal with that situation. She would have to wait. They would have to wait until her life was in danger. Now, is that infection? Is that becoming septic? Whatever the medical condition is, their doctor advised them that it was not wise to wait. So her and her husband made the decision to leave the state of Wisconsin, take off work, go to a neighboring state to terminate that pregnancy because the baby was not viable. What did that mean to them? Number one, it was the tragedy of losing the child, but then it was the lost income from work, the additional cost of traveling out of state, and the financial burden because now she's out of network. So you have a young family with two children at home wanting their third, now with $4,000 additional debt, plus the emotional stress of losing that child. That is not what we want for Republicans. That's not what Republicans want for our constituency. So the bill will be coming out today that updates the life of the mother to deal with today's medical conditions and technology, and then the exception for rape and incest in the first trimester. Some of my colleagues that are here today are much more versed in the medical profession than I am. And I'm going to turn it over to Representative Rosar right now for a follow-up.
Thank you, Senator Felskowski. I am the lead author in the assembly on this bill, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about why I was willing to do that. As I went around the district during the last election, I also heard from people in my district about a rape and incest exceptions. They were obviously upset about the possibility of their young sister getting pregnant and being raped and having to deal with that pregnancy. I had physicians that were OBGYN people talk to me about some of their dilemmas, about how they would deal with a pregnancy in a similar situation to what Senator Felskowski described. People visited my office asking me to support rape and incest exceptions. And so I chose to do that. Is this an ideal bill? No, it's not an ideal bill because we should be protecting all life. But this is not an ideal world. This is a world where bad things happen, tragic things happen, horrific things happen to people. We have 10, 11, 12-year-olds victims of rape and incest, very dangerous for them to carry a pregnancy to term. It's in the best interest to put these exceptions on there. One thing that I would like to say is that because I personally believe in life from conception to natural death, it is important that we tell women who are victims of rape and incest to support them if they choose to carry those pregnancies to term. I have had friends and family members who have been a victim of rape, not of incest, but of rape, and that pregnancy was carried to term. There was support there. That baby was relinquished for adoption, and I'm sure blessed the family in another state that the baby was adopted into. So I know there can be positive outcomes in rape situations where babies are carried to term and then relinquished for adoption. We need to make sure that those supports are there for those women, and I am part of some support groups that do that. I really appreciate Senator Felskowski bringing the language of this bill forward. I appreciate you being willing to reintroduce your birth control over the counter prescribed by pharmacists. I supported that bill last year and will support that bill again this year. This bill basically protects victims who are in horrific situations, and we want to support those people, and this bill updates the 1849 bill so that we are able to do that. Thank you very much for coming today.
Good morning. So within my life, I wear many, many hats. And when I'm outside of this building, I wear the hat of a nurse practitioner. As a nurse practitioner, I represent patients throughout the state of Wisconsin. And as I speak for them, I say this bill needs to be updated. Not the one that we speak of today with incest, but the statutes that we currently have in the state of Wisconsin. I do support this bill that Senator Felskowski and Representative Rosar are putting out here today, as well as the rest of us. As a nurse practitioner, I have had patients come to my office that have been survivors of rape and survivors of incest. And when you're sitting in an office with these families and with these patients, your heart hurts for them. When they are stuck in a situation where there are not services available, what do you say? How do you assist these families? How do you assist these victims? How do you assist these survivors? And so the legislation that is being proposed today will be in support of the patients that come into my clinic. As a nurse practitioner, I have received numerous emails and calls and interactions with other providers throughout the state that struggle with the way that the current statutes are written. And what do these definitions mean? How do they impact my license? How do they impact the patients that they interact with? Again, the statutes, the laws that we have in place currently need to be updated. There's no reason, based on the stories that you heard from Felskowski, Senator Felskowski today, as well as the stories that I have heard for the providers throughout the state of Wisconsin, that patients, as well as the providers, having their license put online, should be in these situations. As I've talked with constituents on both sides, on all sides of the political spectrum, it is very apparent to me that folks are in support of this bill throughout the state of Wisconsin. Statistically, we are seeing that. The emails, the amounts of calls that we get support this bill. When I talk with folks on both sides of the aisle, it was surprising to me that when we really got down to the details and you asked folks, well, what do you feel is acceptable for the state of Wisconsin? There were hesitation when we looked at timelines for weeks. There was hesitation when we look at surrounding states and what they have within their laws. I will tell you that there is a middle ground. When I talked with constituents, nobody wants zero access, and very, very few want 40-week abortion. And so I feel this is a middle ground that is acceptable not only for my patients, but for the other medical providers throughout the state of Wisconsin, as well as the constituents that have reached out. And so I'm fortunate to be part of this bill and to be part of the folks represented here today. And we're going to open up for questions from folks. If you have some questions for us here. Thank you.
Will a victim be required to go to the police if they are claiming that they have been raped for an abortion? What are the requirements for this?
We did not put any requirements in, and they do not have to.
So that's a decision between the provider and the individual?
Correct.
Do you have 50 votes for Republicans rescinding this bill and 17 in the Senate?
Well, I can't speak for the Assembly or the Senate. But we have caucused about this numerous times in the Assembly. And again, the reason that these pills are so important, we want to look at them as a package, because the idea is that we want to make the need for abortion rare. There is no one in our caucus who believes that we should be having abortion for birth control, which is why we support, and I think it passed with overwhelming Republican votes last time, to have the birth control over the counter through prescription by a pharmacist. So I feel very confident that's already passed once. I think we will get the votes. I really do feel pretty confident that we have 50. Do we have extra? I don't know yet. We haven't actually done a vote count. But again, I am here for two reasons. Number one, the legislature is the place where these discussions should be had. I am super disappointed that Governor Evers has drawn such a bright line to say that unless we basically have abortion until the baby is coming out of the birth canal, he will not sign any update to the statute. I think that's reckless and irresponsible. What we have here are people of goodwill saying here is something that Republicans could move on to be able to update the statute and make sure that we have a better defined understanding of when a woman's life would be safe. So I think it's good for all of us. So yes, I think we can get to 50. I can't speak for the Senate, but I think part of this is also hoping that Democrats are willing to work with us on this update and not thinking that somehow they're going to allow the other branch of government to become a super legislature.
Well, to follow up, Mayor, do you know if you have 50 votes in the Senate?
So I can't answer that on the birth control bill, but currently we do not have the 17 votes on the exceptions bill and updating the life.
So, Rob, you're talking about Democrats. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm going to guess. suggest if you guys would pass this bill, it would weaken Call's lawsuit against the Indian crime ban because it would update the law, right? So you're asking Democrats to work with you on a bill that would weaken their ultimate goal of overturning the ban that's under 74 years old. So how would you convince them to work with you on this bill?
Well, the first hope is that Dan Kelly wins the election so that we have a legislature that actually is the place where political decisions are made, not the state Supreme Court. So I think that is hopefully step number one for this to occur. I would say, more importantly, we should not turn to the Supreme Court to become a super legislature. The founders didn't intend it to be that way. Unfortunately, it seems like some of my Democratic colleagues are banking on that in the election so that they don't have to go through the process that the founders intended in 1848 when we had a state. So I'm an optimist. I think that eventually people realize that the right way to do it is through the traditional process, not through a super legislature in the state Supreme Court, but hopefully the voters agree with that.
What's the timing for the bill? Are you trying to pass it next month or 2 months?
Well, it's being circulated for co-sponsorship for about 2 weeks.
Yep, till the 29th.
Yep, we want to give every opportunity for members to sign on. We'd like the public to engage. You know, as Senator Felskowski said, this is broadly supported by the public. This is not something where Republicans are out of the mainstream. I believe if you look at the Pew Research, something like 90% of the public believes in exceptions for rape and incest. I think hopefully 100% of the public thinks that we should update the statute so that you clearly define when somebody has a transplant or they have other health conditions that weren't even apparent 175 years ago, that we would update for those. So I think there are things that should be common sense, they should be middle ground, and that's why we're here today to make sure we can try to find that.
Won't go to court before the April election?
Unlikely, because we have to have it for co-sponsorship.
Yeah. The viability of the infant or the baby or fetus, is that determined by a doctor? And what does that include? Does that include some genetic testing for viability after birth? How are those determinations?
That is a great medical question. So after the Dobbs decision happened, we reached out and spoke to medical providers and said to put, tragedy happens. Mm-hmm. To try to put everything that could possibly happen into statute and into words, we found it very impossible to do that. So, and I think this is something that's really important. You have to remember that when these unfortunate situations happen, these are families that are trying to have a child. Abortion is the last thing on their mind. So we are trusting these families, these women and their husbands, to make those decisions with their medical providers. These are not easy decisions, and they are not frivolous decisions. And I am selfishly very thankful I was never posed with having to make that decision. So we are empowering the moms and the fathers who are trying to have children to work with their medical providers to make sure that they have the healthiest, viable baby and that mom's life is protected in the process.
Okay, thanks everybody.
Thank you.